golfers, get ready to elevate your Saturday mornings. Yeah, it's Brian Murphy here, and I am thrilled to introduce the Clubhouse Corner with Ben and Eddie. This is a passion project from the good folks at the Clubhouse in Fremont. These two are on a mission to make golf accessible and enjoyable for the masses. So set your alarm. 7 a.m. every Saturday, join Ben and Eddie at the Clubhouse Corner, only on KNBR.
All right, nice to have you back with us. The Giants lineup is out. It is Way Jr. in right, Yastrzemski in center, Longoria third, Peterson in left, Belt at first, Estrada is at second today, LaStella is the DH, Walton at short, he had a nice game last night in the field at least, and Casale is behind the plate for the Giants today as they take on Dylan Cease and the Chicago White Sox. Joining us now is Matt Snyder. And we had Matt on just for a short time last week as he got involved with the Houston Astro no-hitter against the Giants, against the Yankees last week. And we couldn't have him on for the entire segment. But read him at CBSSports.com. He does a great job. They all do a great job, really, on covering baseball every day. So, Matt, thanks for coming back today.
Sure thing. Yeah, I mean, the only two games are going on right now, and every team has a hit. So we're golden right now. We have plenty of time.
I loved it. Very good. Hey, this Christian Javier, speaking of the game last week that he combined with the no-hitter, I saw today, for the first time since 1900, a pitcher has gone two games with one hit and 27 strikeouts, and he did it. You see that?
Yeah. Man, I mean, in some ways, you could have said last night was, I don't know about more, equally as dominant. I mean, there was the one hit, and that was it. So you don't look quite as closely when the one hit was a solo home run. Oh, he gave up a run, he gave up a hit instead of no hits. But, man, 14 strikeouts against no walks. What a stretch to have 27, as you said, 27 strikeouts in two straight games. And it's not like it was against total pushovers because it was the Yankees in New York. Was the first outing. Now the Angels kind of a little bit more of a pushover other than Ohtani and Trout. There's a big drop off there, especially with Rendon hurt and Ward has kind of come back to earth, but still unbelievable two consecutive outings. The Astros they're pretty scary because they got to the World Series last year basically with a patchwork rotation. You know, they had a bunch of kids who were extended workload-wise far beyond where they thought they would go. McCullers got hurt in the ALDS. Verlander was out for the season, and they still made the World Series. Well, now they've got Verlander. Now those youngsters can go a little deeper in the season before you start to worry about their innings limits, and kind of the training wheels are off there. It's quite a rotation.
Well, I'll tell you one thing about Verlander, and I don't know if he gets enough publicity now, but he's one of the best pitchers in baseball
again,
at his age,
yeah.
Coming back, and a dead bang Hall of Famer, I'll tell you that.
Absolutely. And age 39, he basically hadn't pitched since 2019 when they got to Game 7 of the World Series against the Nationals, because in 2020 he only made one start before he went down. And then obviously coming back from Tommy John, he missed all year last year. So, I mean, having been down almost three seasons and coming back at age 39, Cy Young contender right now, that's just, I mean, that speaks to what kind of talent he has. And one of the things that you see in the Hall of Fame types is maybe, you know, the old phrase, he's lost his fastball. Maybe as they get older, they don't have quite the knockout stuff they used to have. Well, then you learn how to pitch and you learn how to approach in a different way. You learn how to attack hitters in a different way. And he's completely made adjustments from one of the years in Detroit. Yeah, 2014, he had one of the worst years of his career. Age 32, you think, uh-oh, maybe he doesn't have any more. Well, then he made adjustments, and he learned how to pitch in a different way.
I think it's terrific. I love the story. And he killed the A's over the years. He knocked them out in those game fives.
Oh, man, yes.
Very good. It's a good story. And as I say, a dead bang Hall of Famer for me. Let's talk a little bit about this White Sox team. And I got the first good look at them last night. Boy, I'll tell you one thing, that they chase. They can be pitched to.
Yeah.
They don't have a lot of power going right now. And they only had one lefty in the bullpen. What's your take on the White Sox? Now, they got a ton of games left with Minnesota and Cleveland. A ton of games, so a long baseball segment to go here for the White Sox. But what do you think of them right now?
Well, it's interesting that you mentioned about the offensively their profile and that maybe not as much power. They chase a lot. They swing a lot. But last year, they were kind of darlings in that the high on base percentage, high batting average. They didn't strike out as much, but they didn't walk a ton, and they were 11th in the American League in home runs. So again, we've seen so many teams in the past recent history where they're heavily reliant on the long ball, right? Maybe a lower average. Maybe they walk a lot and hit a lot of home runs. You know, the three true outcomes with the home run strikeout. The White Sox were kind of antithetical to that. And then they won the division and they were kind of the darlings for that. Well, they've had a lot of injuries this year. They've had a lot of underperformance. And when you go through stuff like that, what can bail you out in close games? The long ball. You can hit a three-run home run, and all of a sudden it erases a lot of errors. Well, it's just not been there for them. Again, a lot of injuries there, both to the rotation and the offense. Now Liam Hendricks is down as well, so their bullpen's kind of up against it. If they got healthy and started playing the way they did last year, they'd have a chance to make a run in the Central because it's not very good. I mean, they're three games under 500, and they're only 5.5 out. I mean, the Giants are 7.5 out, and they're 5 over .500. So it's way easier to get up in the Central. The Twins aren't that impressive. The Guardians aren't that impressive. But there just has been something that seems broken and missing with the White Sox this year, to the point that I kind of feel like maybe firing the manager might light a little fire under them. I don't know. I mean, sometimes, like, I don't even think it's the manager's fault, but it might kind of kick something into the gear, maybe the way it did with the Phillies when they fired Girardi.
Well, the White Sox generally don't fire people mid-season. They've only done it a couple of times in the last 40 years. And one of the guys they did fire.
And ownership loves La Russa. So,
Hawk Harrelson fired La Russa. That was one of the ones in the 80s. And, of course, then he ended up with the A's at that point. Interesting. Matt Snyder is with us. A pleasure to have him. As I say, CBS Sports, please check it out. It's this kind of conversation that Matt writes about and his colleagues as well. What you guys do, and I really enjoy it, you rank the teams every week, and now you got the Giants kind of in the middle of the pack. What happened with the Giants?
Well, I mean, you tell me. They've been inconsistent, you know, and last year I felt like I was one of the first ones who said, I'm done questioning this team. And I know you probably went through it all year with so many people just expecting the other shoe to fall with the Giants. Well, they're not going to keep playing like this. This is the beginning of the end. Every time they lost a couple games, oh, they're going to come back to earth now. And they just never did. And then they got out to a really good start with 14-7 in April. And you just thought, well, here they go again. They've been under 500 since then, and they just can't seem to get it going. They seem more mediocre than good to me, I guess would be the thing. And I still have a lot of faith in the front office. I still have a lot of faith in the scouting department and the ability to get the most they can out of their players. But there's also things that aren't happening again. Well, first of all, I mean, Buster Posey retiring, that was a big deal. Losing Gossman, a free agent, was a big deal. Brandon Crawford was never going to have the year he had last year again, but he has not been very good at all. Now he's hurt. You've just had a lot of things that aren't there the way they were there last year.
Well, I'll tell you this. You mentioned the White Sox maybe needing a jolt in the manager's chair. I think the Giants need a jolt in the clubhouse. I think they've got to part with some minor leaguers and bring someone into that clubhouse that has a little bit of a major league record to give them a jolt and give them some excitement and energy. I think everybody needs it, and I think that's one of the things now. They're closer to Arizona than they are to the Dodgers right now in the standings. And at this point of the season, it is July 4th weekend. It's a marker. I say you need a little bit of something to pick this team up. And that's where I'm going with that. And give up some of the minor leaguers. It's not a problem to do it. So that's where I am with that one. But you're right. There's a sense of mediocrity around them right now with a lot of baseball left to go. Matt Snyder's with us. Matt, so many good stories in baseball. Toronto is one. I want to get your take on Toronto. Gausman got hit on the ankle today, and he had to leave the game. I guess the x-rays are negative, but they've got a catcher who's Alejandro Kirk, who I really haven't seen, who's terrific. Give me your take on the Blue Jays here.
they feel like there's more there to me, which, I mean, it's they're in a playoff position right now, second in the American League in runs scored. But just like Vlad Guerrero Jr. having a great year, but not as great as last year. It feels like Matt Chapman should be better, but I think we thought that the last year with the A's. Feels like Bo Bichette should be better. Like he was on his way to superstardom, and he's just kind of good, but not great this year. Teoscar Hernandez is someone who got off to a terrible start. He's been hot since then. But it just feels like they haven't really fully hit their stride yet, at least offensively. Pitching-wise, I don't know what's going on with Jose Berríos. He's been terrible this year, and he has been a Cy Young contender in the recent past. He's only 28. He should be better than that. Let's see if Gausman's okay, because that's a big deal. If he's out for a little bit, they did say the x-rays were negative, and it's a right ankle contusion. I got flashbacks of Charlie Morton getting hit in the World Series and having a broken leg. It was a similar type play. But, you know, they have the pieces to win the World Series. They just need to get it together in the rotation. Berríos is a big, big deal there. They need Gausman healthy, along with Alek Manoah. That could be a good 1-2-3 in the rotation. I expect them to be aggressive pitching-wise at the deadline, maybe add to the rotation a depth-type piece to the rotation, not necessarily an ace-type, and definitely deepen up the bullpen and try to make a run. It looks like the wild card is the only possibility there, because the Yankees have nearly run away with the East already, a 12-game lead here before July 4th. But that's the type of team that, if they're right at the right time, they could definitely make a run and win the World Series. They're that talented.
Well, it's going to be interesting. Let's look at the wild card a little bit in the National League here with Matt Snyder of CBS Sports. Milwaukee, St. Louis. And I said jokingly, they seem to lose every other day. And who knows how many wins they'll have, because it may take 90 wins to get in even that last spot of the wild card. But give me your take on Milwaukee, St. Louis right now, and then we'll talk a little Philly, Atlanta.
Well, it might take 90, but they'll probably not be as good as their record looks, because those two teams get to play an awful lot of games against the Cubs, Pirates, and Reds. And to have three bottom dwellers in your division like that, and it's funny, the Brewers and Cardinals have played each other 12 times. They've each won six. In fact, it's been three different four-game series, and all three times they split two each in the series. So it's been fun to watch them play so far. I think the Cardinals are better. I just wonder about the Brewers just went through probably the worst stretch they're going to have all season. Two of the three aces, two of the three frontline pitchers, and Freddy Peralta and Brandon Woodruff were hurt. And they lost, they lost eight games in a row. And the Cardinals didn't really do that much to separate themselves during the stretch. Right now, the Brewers are up two games. I do think the Cardinals are better, like I said, but it doesn't seem like they took full advantage of the Brewers' worst stretch of the season, and you kind of need to do that in a race that's going to be that close. I would bet on the Cardinals, but I'm not that confident in it. Either one of those two teams is going to be, well, the worst division winner in the National League. The two Central Division winners in all of baseball are going to be the two that aren't really as good as the East and the West.
Well, I'll tell you, it's interesting to watch Nolan Arenado and Goldschmidt. How about the season that Goldschmidt's having? And Arenado hit for the cycle last night. Maybe got a little gift from the scorer for the last hit. But how about that, Arenado and Goldschmidt?
You know, I think Goldschmidt right now would be MVP of the National League. I thought Machado was in there for a little bit, but he's been, you know, trying to play day-to-day at this point. And Goldschmidt right now leads in batting average, on base percentage, slugging percentage, hits, runs. I mean, he's right there on RBIs. He's not that far off in home runs. He's far and away the MVP, and it seems ridiculous, because some of his best seasons in Arizona, he looked like one of the best players in the league, and he never did win MVP. It would almost seem wrong that he wins it in St. Louis after the prime he had in Arizona, but man, he looks like he's having a career year at age 34, and that's really saying something, because he's had quite an impressive career, even for a late bloomer.
All right. Harper is gone. Maybe he'll be back in 6 weeks, 8 weeks with the fractured thumb. The Phillies still winning, and they won another game against the Cardinals last night. The Braves had the great month, 21 wins in June for the Braves. This impacts the Giants, obviously. The Mets are still hanging in there, even with the pitching issues, and Bassett's on the DL now. Give me your take on this wild card in the National League and how you see it.
Well, first off, I wouldn't worry much about the Phillies. Bryce Harper was doing an awful lot of holding up that house of cards there. And good teams can take a hit and absorb it with their depth. For example, Mookie Betts being out for the Dodgers for a little bit. They have enough talent. They're okay to be able to absorb that blow. The Phillies don't have enough around Harper. And I think they knew it. That's why they went and signed Castellanos and Schwarber late in the spring. It's because it was like, look, we need help around Bryce so badly. We don't care how bad our defense looks. We need the offensive help. So they went out and they signed two DH types to play in the outfield. And they had to play those guys in the outfield every day because Bryce was DHing. I just don't think they can withstand his absence for 6 to 8 weeks. So I'm not worried about the Phillies. The Braves, I think they're going to push the Mets. I would still pick the Mets in that division because their rotation's going to get healthier. Scherzer's coming back Tuesday. And they banked so much credit early in the season that they've been able to withstand the best month the Braves are going to have this season. They're not going to have a better month than they just had in June. And the Mets are still leading by 3.5 games. So I think the Braves are probably the easy and obvious pick for the top wild card in the National League. I do think the Padres will come back a little bit, but then they're going to get a boost eventually when Machado comes back. Eventually when Tatis comes back for the first time this season, they'll get a boost there. They seem like the smart second wild card pick. So that would leave the Giants in the mix with, like, whoever doesn't win the Central is probably the biggest thing, because, again, I wouldn't worry much about the Phillies. So Giants against whoever doesn't win the Central, Brewers and Cardinals, there's your race.
Okay. All right. Very good. We'll hold you to that one. We'll get you back on.
All right.
As that one develops. I like it. How do you like the week the Pittsburgh Pirates had with Sawinski and then Brian Reynolds and then Perez? Come on. Who's got 5 hits all year. He hits 3 homers in a game. What about that?
It's interesting because they're definitely not good, but they might be one of the more fun teams to watch among the teams that aren't good and are not contenders, because they're an obvious non-contender. But, like, Brian Reynolds was one of the best players in the league last year. And it's always funny to see, like, a Twitter account of a team like the Pirates trying to pump up, hey, he's our MVP, blah, blah, blah. But he really is one of the better players in baseball, and a lot of people don't know about him because he's on the Pirates. But Sawinski's really fun to watch as well. And O'Neill Cruz already might be the most fun player to watch in baseball. He's going to be inconsistent. He's going to strike out a lot. But he's a StatCast superstar, man. I mean, he's throwing at 97 miles per hour from shortstop to first base. He's a 6'7 shortstop. He has off-the-charts power. He's really, really fast. You're looking at like a 5-tool superstar who's 6'7". You'd never see that. So it's a fun bad team to watch, if there's a such thing. I know that's kind of an oxymoron there, but they really are a fun bad team, and this past week really illustrated that point.
Yeah, 3 guys hit 3 homers in a game, Reynolds, Perez, and Sawinski, who we saw last Sunday. Do you think Cruz will be Rookie of the Year in the National League? Now, look, he's just come up, and he really hasn't done a lot yet, but do you think he's the favorite?
He's actually the betting favorite last I looked, and I was like, oh, man, I don't know about that. That seems like a sucker's bet, because, like I said, He'll light up the stat cast and everything, but he's still, through 12 games, is hitting .217 with a .250 on base percentage, 16 strikeouts and 40 plate appearances. And plus, such a late start there. I'm not seeing it. You've got guys like Juan Yepes for the Cardinals, who has been a really big power guy in that lineup and that team who's fighting for first place. I think he's probably one of the good bets. Michael Harris of the Braves has come up and played center field. A lot of his full-time playing time kind of coincided with when they got hot. So guys like that, I think, have a nose up. Cruz will be the sexy pick, but I don't think that's going to get it done right now.
Boy, don't forget Luis Gonzalez. If he comes back from this back strain and really does something for the Giants and they get back in this. Yeah, he's in there too for me.
National League's wide open. It doesn't have like Julio Rodriguez in the American League side where it looks like he might run away with it. The NL side is open.
Well, good. Hey, great talking with you. I love it. Very nice. Thanks for coming on. We'll have you again. You guys do a great job at CBS Sports, cbssports.com, and those articles are up there every day. So, Matt, thank you for coming on today.
All right. Thank you. Have a good one.
What was that, Raph? Okay. All right, Matt, thank you. We'll catch up again. All right, that is Matt Snyder. All right, Raph is talking to me. All right, KMBR 680, 104.5. Bill Lasky and I are next right here on the Sports Leader.
Golfers, get ready to elevate your Saturday mornings. Yeah, it's Brian Murphy here, and I am thrilled to introduce the Clubhouse Corner with Ben and Eddie. This is a passion project from the good folks at the Clubhouse in Fremont. These two are on a mission to make golf accessible and enjoyable for the masses. So set your alarm. 7 a.m. every Saturday, join Ben and Eddie at the Clubhouse Corner. Only on KNBR.